Welcome to Historical. My name is David. And this week, I did an interview with a YouTuber who goes by the handle Big Daddy Momo. Been following her whole trajectory. It's been pretty exciting to see. I'll let her explain more of what she does in the interview here. But yeah, enjoy.
Two, one, and we're live.
All right, there it goes. So I guess, we'll start with how did you get started doing content in general?
How did I get started doing content in general? You know, a lot of people didn't like COVID, and this doesn't sound bad, but I had a kind of a good time, you know, minus obviously everyone dying. That's not good. But those who survived it, I feel like it wasn't so bad. It wasn't a bad trade-off. You know, it was good for the environment. You know, there wasn't a lot of people driving around and yeah, people just relaxed, calm down, stay at home for a while. It was nice for me, you know, and I was actually overseas and I quit my job when COVID hit. And I was, and then I came back to the US like 4 months after COVID really was like, everyone's freaking out and, you know, staying at home. And then I was just like trying to apply for jobs. And I'm like, man, I really don't want to work for anyone. It's not that I don't want to work. I don't want to work for anyone anymore. And I just couldn't get a job and it was frustrating me. And honestly, I'll be honest. It's not like I looked for like months on end. I looked for like 2 months and I was like, I just don't want to do the process anymore, man. Like, I just want to do it. And then I was like, let me fire up YouTube and just start talking about and watching stuff that I already do, which was at the time, UFC was really, you know, I was pretty, really, really hardcore at it. Right now, I still follow along. It's not as much, but at the time I was, you know, Habib and Conor, it was like Habib had just retired. And there's another fighter, Khamzat Chimaev. He was still getting his first few fights in. And so those two fighters, I'm really, really, you know, I really like. So I just decided to talk about them and then go live on YouTube. I just would go live and I would just sit there and watch the fight. And that's what I did. But I really committed myself. Like I, because I was like, well, I'm not working. Let me just do. So I became quite obsessed. Like I would put out 10 videos a day and that lasted about 2 months until I got completely burnt out. It's just not sustainable.
No. Yeah. That's what I hear, you know, but yeah, it sounds like, you know, you really like hit the ground running there. And like, you know, yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, you had that energy like from the outset to really get you somewhere, you know, and that's honestly what it like takes in some cases. And two, don't get me wrong. Like there's also other factors involved, but like, no, I mean the content is king is kind of what they say, right? Like the more stuff you have for people to click on and watch, you know, that's,
yeah.
And if it's, you know, quality and, you know, enough quality, you know, people love the commentary stuff too. That's what I found. I enjoy commentary, especially listening to people that I, you know, don't necessarily agree with everything that they're saying, but like, hey, you know, just listening to that long form, you know, somebody really dissecting maybe their thoughts on something is actually, you know, I like that a lot better than, you know, you watch like ESPN or something. There's just, you got the talking heads, you know, Stephen A just talking, you know, shit up to everybody. It's like, all right, man, like it's nice for the clickbait, but like, it's for like actual good analysis on something, you know, it's, and so it feels like, yeah, like you kind of had something there, at least that people were attracted to in terms of the analysis and the spikes. Yeah. So that's really good.
I was so nervous because I was just like, if you go back and watch my first videos, I'm very like, very nice and very proper. I mean, I'm still a nice person, but I was like very like, kind of like speaking very polite.
Yeah.
And then I think for me, the reason why I put out so much was because I wanted to just, I'm like, let me just see if this is something that's gonna gain traction. Like, I don't want to say, I like to think I'm a patient person, but I don't think I'm that patient of a person. So I was just like, let me see, is this gonna actually lead to something? Or if not, then I can just like forget it and just maybe do something else. But luckily, you know, I think, and that's where I eventually evolved into more of a reaction channel with a lot with comedy. Still do UFC stuff, but it was, I think, because when I went live and people liked my reaction to a lot of, oh, someone got knocked out, or oh, someone's leg snapped or something, and my reaction. And even if I'm not like breaking down, analyzing what happened, but I mean, I would a lot of times kind of explain what's going on as I'm watching the fights go, especially because some people don't have the fight, so they're listening in and seeing what's going on. But I think it was even when I was just making jokes or whatever, I think people just liked the reaction part, which kind of pushed me. And I'm like, let me try doing reaction stuff and see how that works out. And it worked out really well. So I am now hardcore Bill Burr channel as well.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I was about to bring up was like, it seemed like a lot of your Bill Burr reaction stuff was getting a lot of attention, and which is, you know, I don't think it's, you know, I think, you know, Bill Burr's hilarious. I mean, a lot of people think Bill Burr's hilarious, but I don't like him.
I love that man. I really do.
I mean, he really is hilarious. And yeah, maybe, you know, I think there's a whole subset of people out there that like kind of just don't like comedy in general, you know, and I feel like maybe that Bill Burr's just kind of sucked into that, because I feel like if you appreciate comedy, if you like, you know, Louis C.K. or you like, yeah. Any of the bigger comics, I like, how do you not like, how is Bill Burr not up there in your,
yeah.
You know? So I don't know, like, have you meet people like that are like big comedy fans that just are like Bill Burr haters?
Usually big comedy fans. Okay, I don't know if I should say this. I'm not getting political, but a lot of usually like hard left people don't like Bill Burr. They think he's too like edgy. They think he's like against females because he has that like never hit a woman joke, which I think is hilarious. But if you listen to him, he's not saying that you should do it. He's not saying that at all. But they just see the title and they're turned off and they're like, cancel that man, you know? So it's like, but he's actually really funny if you listen to what he's saying.
One of those things where it's like, he's also sort of trying to make you think about, and it's not like he's trying to make some big point, like appeal to, yeah, like incels or anything like that. What he's trying to do is just kind of make you think about the social norms.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
He's just trying to make you think about it. It's not saying, oh, well, that we should change it. You know, he's just like trying to point out the differences, you know, necessarily.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I went and saw him live. And, you know, I went and saw him live. It was in D.C. when I went and saw him live. Last year, actually. And so DC is very, as obviously very political, very tense area. And so he was just ripping everyone a new one, conservatives, liberals. And he even said, cause no one was laughing. Like I thought it was hilarious. And some people were, but the majority, a lot of his jokes, especially when he was going in on conservatives, when he was going in on liberals, because it was like very, like you could feel like people were split very much one way or another,
weren't laughing.
He was like, dang, you know, this is a tough area. He even said, he's like, this is a tough area. And I'm like, yeah, man, you're in DC. Like people will take this like more than religion. Like politics has become the new religion where it's like, it's people live it. And it's like a part of who they are now. Like if you support one side of the spectrum, there's families who've gotten broken up over there. I know one of my friends, she doesn't talk to a side of her family because they were Trump supporters, for example. So, I mean, and it's become very like religious, where it's no longer just like a point of view or a difference in opinion or, okay, like, you know, let's have a chat about this. It's like, you're either with us or you're with them, and that's it. Yeah. Which is, it's incredible because that didn't happen really up until Trump. Really, before it wasn't like that. I don't think it was really like that before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's like a gradual over time, because like you look, you know, if you compare it to the history, you know, in the past, like you see a lot of people's, you know, they're basically their ideological viewpoint came from like their religion mostly. And at a certain point, you know, religion starts to fall out of fashion. That's where you see like kind of like communism and all that stuff kind of comes in the last 200 years or so. Mm. And it's like, you know, I want to say like the ideas, at least, you know, you see the revolutions and stuff kind of towards the early 1900s. But what's going on there? It's like ideology started to shift from religion being the dominant thing to politics, you know, and now it's kind of in full swing where it's like, it used to be like, you know, conservatives were mainly just Christians that voted a certain way because that sort of seemed to align with their ideology. But now it's kind of like reversed where it's like people are voting because of the political ideology. Just that's what's governing their life, you know? And it's like, you know, I don't know. They say there's a God-sized hole in everybody, and they fill it with something. You fill it with religion. You fill it with politics. You fill it. That's what people always say. You know, I try to really just be an understanding person. You know, at the end of the day, like, you know, I have I think what I think, but at the same time, though, it's like I don't think that anybody. I'll try and hear anybody out as long as they're being respectful and they're demonstrating that they're actually trying to think, you know, use their brain. Cause some people are just like, rah, rah, you know, like there's nothing going on. You know what I mean? It's just like regurgitation. It's like,
It is.
And I hate to use the term NPC because it's so overused. Everyone's like, you're an NPC. You're an NPC. It's like, but there's almost an element of that to some people where it is, they are on an automation. Somebody says, hey, you know, I actually kind of like that Bill Burr. You know, it's like they immediately, it's just on automation, must think you're right wing, you're this or that. And it's just like, hey, like, look, I thought the joke was funny, you know? It's like,
he's not even right wing. Like, he's really not.
No, that's what's funny about it. That's what's funny about all of it.
At all. I'm like, wait, I don't understand.
Comedians historically are like pretty left leaning. And that's what's crazy about things. Like, you have guys like Nick DiPaolo who obviously kind of go more to that right. But no, comedians in general, I've always found to be more left leaning, and especially in their 100%. When they be honest about it. Carlin, Eddie Murphy, you know, like even all these guys that are super edgy, they were left leaning, like, and or on the left, you know. It's like, I don't get this where now it's like, edgy comedy is somehow a right wing thing. It's just
I don't understand it. If you criticize, I think it's like criticizing women or making fun of women. That's where it's become very like, oh no, you can't do that. There should never be some, I don't know. There really shouldn't be anything in comedy where you can't make fun of. Seriously. I mean, isn't that the point, to go and take something that's tense or stressful or maybe, you know, not very funny and make a joke so you can see some kind of positive or just not take things so seriously. I think there was, I heard about, what is that? A certain type of comedy now where you have to like get permission to make jokes about, I forgot what it's called. It's like consent. You have to like get consent to run certain jokes or something like that, which is, isn't that kind of ruining it?
Yeah, I mean, and I can understand, right? Like, you know, if you're going on like late night or whatever, sometimes they have some of the edgier comedians rework the joke a little bit so that it's not as, you know, they can get it past the censors. Okay, you know, I get it. But no, in some cases, like, now it's like you're forcing me to change my act because of certain rules. Like, it becomes, to me, here's the thing. It's like, comedy is an art form. The best guys, you see how they use the edge. The edge is a line. It's a tool in comedy, is what it is. It's like you play, and that's what they play with. They're always kind of jumping on back and forth. They're pulling you back and forth. They're losing you. They're bringing you back. And there's this whole act that they're doing. It's an art form. Like, that's why it's an art. That's why they put together an act. That's why they can sell tickets. People want to go and see. It's kind of like this roller coaster. And now, don't get me wrong. There's, on the other side, those are the professionals, and they do it well, and I defend them all day because they know how to use that tool, right? And it's and there's an art form to it, and I love art. I defend art. So on the other side, though, there are guys like that do podcasts, you know, that are just like kind of miserable, really just kind of hateful dudes that just sit there and make racist jokes, and that's what it is. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, really is no substance to it. There really is no, like, they're not playing with that line. What they're doing is they're just intentionally crossing it for the sake of shock value and just trying to get clicks, you know? And it's to me, that's just exploitation. You're not at the, you know, it's not art. That's the same thing as like, you know, it's like Yeah, anyway.
But I will say, even in those cases, you rarely ever have to do any like management and like canceling or anything like that, because people naturally aren't going, like, that's not funny. That's just not
Yeah,
funny. You know,
right.
it's like,
The
what is that?
13-year-old might find it funny, but like,
Yeah.
honestly, it's like once you actually understand comedy and you know what's good and understand irony, and like there's so
Right.
many tools of the comedy that like it's so much like racial humor that's so basic. It's like
Yeah.
that's to me is why I just don't ever go that direction with my humor
Yeah.
jokes, because to me it's like to me it's basic and it's just low-hanging fruit, you know?
Exactly. It reminds me, hold on, I'm just gonna let my dog out of the room because I think he's gonna start barking in a minute. Just
Uh-oh.
one second. Yeah,
Leo.
Yeah, Leo, you're out. You're done. He just growled at me. You're out. But it reminds me of Amy Schumer. Isn't that her name? The one that's really not funny.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't
They ch
that who that is?
didn't
Amy
they change the
Schumer.
Netflix rating on
Oh
system
my
because of her? Because like people like
God.
bombed downvoted like her special, and so they
Get
just
out.
totally changed it. They're like, no more user input. Yeah, it was something. I think so. I'm pretty sure something like that happened.
I kind of, she is somewhat historical now, you know, as one of the worst comedians. Dude, I don't even know how she landed that job. How did she get that famous? I don't understand. How did,
It's
how? All her
she's a
jokes are about her
the
getting
is
fat
it
and having sex. That's it in every single special. It is
Oh yeah.
so boring. I
Yeah,
can't do
exactly. It's the same thing, right? The same material. Like no substance to it, no real digging deeper, you know. It's like
it.
it's at least Carlin, and Bill like Bill Hicks, like those
Yeah.
guys, they had the humor. They had the sort of intellectual highbrow stuff, but then they also had the dick jokes. You know, it's like
Right.
they
Yeah.
knew how to do the
Talented.
balance.
Yeah,
You know, there's a,
exactly.
and so, like, fuck, what was I gonna say? Like, Schumer is actually the niece of Chuck Schumer, like that senator. I think he's a New York senator. I think she's
Connected
related
that.
to him. Yeah, and that's what's crazy about that. It's just like I'm. Does it did he pull strings to like help her career? Because like he's, I don't not that I fucking politic. He seems like a
Dude,
pretty powerful politician though. Like he seems like
that
up there.
makes sense. Dude, there's this video. Oh my God, I didn't even connect the names. I don't know, I just didn't think politics. There's this video of her like comedians doing their bit and her doing the same exact bit, it, also known as stealing it on YouTube. I don't
Yeah.
know if you saw that, but
Yeah, I think so.
it was wild. It was so, she stole so many jokes. And I mean, those are the few that didn't revolve around her main topics, you know.
Right.
But
Yeah, the actual good material was
yeah,
like
when she
other
actually did
people.
something else other than being like, I had so much sex the other day. And I'm just like,
Yeah.
you're a woman. You shouldn't brag about that. Any woman can have so much sex. Like, that's like cool, bro. Like, I don't know. That's pretty. And like, if
Yeah.
everything, like, as a female, it's pretty common that you can. Like, it's not, everyone knows this. Like, it's not something.
And like,
I was like, what? This makes no sense. But
South Park, I think, made fun of her too. Like, I think there was a whole episode with like Cartman was just like his the thing he kept repeating was just like women are funny, like don't question it or something like that. It's like shut up, bigot. Women are funny. And then he just kept like doing a Amy Schumer impression. All he just kept saying over and over again was my vagina. It's just
yeah,
like
that's
that's like
what
it's
it is.
really what
She
it is. Yeah, her
all
humor
she
is
talks about is her genitals. It's
her
like,
vagina. I don't know if you saw like the he she did a Judd Apatow movie called like a Train Wreck. It like had it. I saw it for Bill Hader because Bill
haven't even
Hader's
been.
awesome. I love Bill Hader and LeBron James was in it. And then Colin Quinn is in it too. And I love Colin Quinn as well. So it's like I kind of went for Hader and Colin Quinn. And
No, I didn't see that.
she's in it like the whole fucking time, and she's just absolutely insufferable.
Oh
She
my
barely can barely act. But like I thought like I, every she, Apatow movie, fuck it, let me go give it a shot.
Yeah, I
But at
love
the
him.
beginning, the first 15 minutes, John Cena's in it. And she's like, he's dating her or something, and she's just like, you know, and again, it's just the same thing as you're talking about. It's just like she's like going through guys. It's just like showing her just like sleeping with like guy after guy. It's just like, that's okay. Yeah. Like, Jesus, like, it's like her fucking act. It's just like, yeah, I'm a trashy. Yeah. I'm a trashy whore. Yeah, all I do is just like, I'm like, okay. Like, great, idea good for you.
Like, I'm like a dude too. Like, it's not only guys. It's like, listen, it's 2023. No one gives a shit where you put your genitals. Truly, no one cares. Yeah, like, you don't have to brag about this. We use the term brag loosely, but like in everything we get it. You're cool too, you know?
But like, I think you are onto something there. I think it is, in a way, it is bragging, right? Like, it is, or what, because she's on stage. It's probably like some weird fucking fetish, you know, to just be talking about so openly. Like, I don't know, not to shame your shit if that's your thing to like be like that, but like, no, like, it's just weird that you, like you're saying, to me, it's not funny. The fact that she's got a whole career, she's like doing like auditoriums, it's like, it's mind-blowing. Yeah. Not to totally shit all over Amy Schumer, but like, yeah,
I mean, someone who steals jokes and comes up with, you can, I mean, I don't care. I personally, I feel like she, that's just, I don't know,
you deserve all the bad things that come to you if you steal
kind jokes. Of, yeah, I'm like, you're stealing everyone else's hard work.
Mencia, he got cooked up for a joke by Rogan. Yeah. Cooked up Mencia for it, like, that's how Rogan got like super, I don't want to say that's how he got popular, but that helped.
Yeah.
Out of that. Do you remember that? Like, the video came out of him. It was like 2007.
What happened?
Carlos Mencia was stealing jokes. And so Rogan like confronts him at a comedy club. And I think Brian Redband recorded the video and uploaded it to YouTube. And then this just went viral, like really early on, before Rogan was like, had his show, I think podcast. And maybe it was really early on in that, but he's just on the stage with Mencia, just like cussing him out. What? Just being like, you stole this guy's joke. You stole this guy's joke. And Mencia is just like, fuck you. Like, I'm not even listening to it, but like totally embarrasses Carlos Mencia. And this video like fucking ruined Mencia's career, basically.
Well, like, I feel
it went like, around like, you remember Mind of Mencia and all that shit? It was on Comedy Central.
Well, he was huge. I feel like Joe Rogan had every right to. I mean, any comedian that is, because comedy is hard work. Like, you sit there, you write jokes, you go up, you put it out there, you get roasted, and you have all these people heckling you, and then you go back and you work. Like, it's not an easy thing to have someone steal that. It's so shitty and it's so grimy. But like, on a big scale like that, when you take big, you know, comedian's work and you just pocket that and you put it out as your own, like what Amy did, or that guy that you're talking about, what he did as well. I just feel like, if someone's going to cuss you out, you had it coming. Like, you don't do that. You don't do that, man. It's just come up with your own shit. There's so much material in the world. You have an entire world to work off of. Like, well, come up with something of your own.
That whole era was interesting too, because it was like, you had Mind of Mencia, and that was going on at the same time as Chappelle's show. And that was when Dave Chappelle like up and just fucking left Chappelle's show like halfway through making it. And part of the reason I think he cited was Mind of Mencia, because Chappelle was doing racial humor, but he was trying to kind of call out stereotypes, kind of point them out and think, kind of make people think about them, versus it felt like what Mencia was doing. Like, Mencia was just going for the low hanging fruit, like just like, haha, look how funny, look at the stereotype, you know? And so I think that freaked out Chappelle. He felt like he was actually starting to become like Mencia and was just contributing to them, perpetuating the stuff. And so that's why he fucking up and quits. And then Rogan does that shit to Mencia and then fucking basically ends Mencia's fucking career. And so like, there's two huge, the biggest people who were on Comedy Central at the time, basically were gone. and then Daniel Tosh fills the void what happens with Tosh Point. And then he's been there ever since. I feel like he's like, they have never been able to replicate, maybe with Key and Peele. I think Key and Peele is the closest they've come to getting that Chappelle show magic back.
Not even close, man.
But they can't. Chappelle's show is like a whole other thing. Like, it was just on a whole other level. Like,
dude, talk about people who are like actually gifted. Dave Chappelle is insane. Like, I think for maybe there won't be anyone like him for a very. I haven't met anyone on his or seen anyone on his. Like, I love Bill Burr, and he's actually probably my favorite comedian. actually more than, but that it's different. Like I just, cause I'm like obsessive. Like I listen to his podcast and like, that's why like I've gotten to know him like on that level where I'm just listening to his podcasts and, you know, like probably he's paying way too much attention to his personal life as well. So, so I like, yeah. That's why I feel like I've gotten like so attached to him. But, I think content wise, there's nothing like Dave Chappelle, especially his old stuff. Oh my God. Like his old stand-ups are insane. Oh, now yeah. His newer ones feel like a little bit more of like a lecture, you know, but
yeah. And I think honestly, I feel like that's the progression of a lot of the good comedians. Like I felt like Louis C.K. went the same way too. Like his first few stand-ups, like were just great, self-deprecating, just yeah. Absolutely just like, he just didn't hold back. And then the other ones sort of became more of like a lecture, like here's why, you know, he talking about like the China with the iPhone stuff and like
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, like there's good bits in those, but like, but yeah, it started to become more of, and but I think who does that really well for some reason is like Chappelle. He weaves that more meditative stuff in with it the does, humor, but like the jokes I think still land,
they do, but well. It's not like, it's not like his old stuff. I had a bit from his old that just popped into my head, and it's very inappropriate. I'm not going to say it, but it's racial. So, yeah. You know, like it's just like that bit with the Indian casino, like when he was like, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he was he called him Blackfoot, and he's like. That's what he wanted him to call him, and he called him something else. I'm not gonna say it. Just watch the, you know, you guys can go watch the bit, but it's really, really funny. But it's not like that. It's not just pure comedy. There's aspect of like real life, and then you feeling like crap for a second and feeling like, man, our society sucks. And then it's like some comedy, and then bringing you back into like more of like a lecture mode. But he does it in a good way. But I think that's just how stuff has evolved now. I feel like a lot of comedians do that, where it's like they talk about how like the society is or stuff that they went through, their trauma is, and then they make it jokes instead of like coming up with just material that they're disassociated from, like how it was in the early 2000s. But either way, I think it's incredible. When I went and saw him live, the power went out. And he did such a good job, man. Just right, like no, the power just went out, and he just sat there and he just joked with the audience until they got it fixed. And he was recording his Netflix special, so clearly he didn't use that one. But it was still, he did such a good job. It's insane. So people like Amy Schumer, ugh, just can't, man. It's just, what are you doing? It's just embarrassing, yeah. Man. It's just it's embarrassing.
It kind of seems like they coast on the. Don't get me wrong. Like I do think I Dane Cook, like he's so controversial, but man, like back in the day, like that vicious circle, like some of those bits we had on repeat, like just as teenagers, you know, you just for like, he's just that level. You know what I mean? Like at that age, like I like Carlin stuff, and I liked, you know, but like, for some reason, like the visceral nature of his comedy, like he's just so animated and like, it just,
yeah,
I don't know. Like it just really appealed to the juvenile sense of humor. And some of those bits, I still go back to him. Like I love the B&E bit, like the whole thing. Like, it's fucking funny. I will always defend that bit because he's whole thing about, he just like the guy tears the guy's life apart because it can't figure out what the guy fucking took from the house. He's like, I want to break in and not take. He's like, I wonder what the fuck did he take? Like, it's so
I don't know
good.
Where that guy went. He disappeared. I think
still does his thing, but like, it's like one of those. He was in an episode of Louis, like, you know, Louis C.K.'s show.
Pretty sure
he was in an episode of that. And they're like, and they actually kind of like sort of examine a bit, like it's kind of meta, like, because Louis's show is always super meta for some reason. Yeah. Like, yeah. And so they're actually having like a conversation about how like Louis gets to be the comics comic and Dane is the big old sellout, you know, that does arenas and shit. And it's like, there, it's kind of interesting. And like, it's kind of showing some level of self-awareness there from Dane Cook. It seems like,
Yeah.
And no, like, I feel like Dane Cook, he's a comedian, you know, I do. He's gotten a lot of shit. I think because his film career took off, like he started kind of doing all the sellout stuff. He became oversaturated. He was everywhere. I get it. Like, I understand people got sick of him. I was fucking sick of him. But the thing is like, there are some, he is a funny guy. Like, I will defend that. Like, he is a funny guy. So, anyway, I was going to bring something up. Probably comedy related. You like Bill Burr, and we've mentioned a few other names, but is there any others like on your list, I guess, like of all time greats? We got Chappelle's on there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Bill Burr, Chappelle. Those two are honestly surprising. So Ali, I really like Ali Wong, and I really like her videos, her movies, and her Netflix stuff. I don't know if you've seen her. She's the really tiny Asian one. She comes out. She was pregnant in a lot of her stuff.
Yeah.
I like her a lot. I think she's very funny. She did that movie with Keanu Reeves, and then recently put out this Netflix show. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's so good. It's dark humor, but it's called Eve. And The Walking Dead, Glenn, the actor, I forgot his name, Steven something, I forgot his last name. If you've seen The Walking Dead, Glenn, have you seen
Steven, The Walking Dead? Yeah, it's like the Asian guy.
Yeah. Is Glenn. His last name Yun?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're, I think you're right. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, but.
Yeah, Steven Yun, yeah. Hopefully I'm saying it right. He's in it, and it's so good. It's only like 8 episodes or 9 episodes, but they do such a good job. I think he got nominated. What do they get? Is that an Emmy that they get nominated
television
for?
Is television? Emmys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think he got nominated for that because it's very good. It's like, I binged it. It was done within 48 hours. Nice. Just done.
Very bingeable. Then is it like shorter episodes? Is it like you said? It's dark humor. Is it like more comedy, dramedy, or like
it's dark? So it's comedy, but there are a lot of moments that's just like very dark, very serious, and it's not what you think it is. Like when you're watching it by the last episode, you're like, holy shit, this is wild. Like it's there's a lot more thrilling, like thriller aspects to it than you think. So they do such a good job with it. Like,
okay, so it sounds like there's like some production value there. It's not like The Office style steady documentary feel. Okay, it's like actual
production. It's excellent. Did you see the, speaking of like production value, did you see the new Arnold Schwarzenegger show that's out on Netflix?
I don't think so.
I hate to say this because I love Arnold, and I was watching it because of him, but I just couldn't finish it. I don't know. It's number one on Netflix shows right now. And I was like,
yeah,
this thing is just, it's the dialogue is so corny. I can't. And I don't mind like corny dialogue, but I can't get through it. I was like, this is, it's so disappointing though, because it's Arnold, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I have, and I love him. So I was just like, so excited that he was in something again, finally. It's kind of weird seeing him run, because he's doing some CIA stuff. So he's like 75. but he's killing it, man. He's killing it. But it's just, the production value is just like, why is this like this? Who is writing these scripts? Yeah, it's that I do not suggest too much, but
For Arnold, like I understand, like, you know, he's got the appeal. He's like the all-time action star thing, but like, damn, like, dude, I don't know. At a certain point, you kind of got to just like, I don't know what you got to do. Cause like he's tried to do, seems like more of the dramatic stuff. You know, he's tried to figure out maybe something to do it later, but it's just like, nah, I'm the action guy. And it's like, I mean, at a certain age, it just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. At a certain age. But you know, it's his, like you listen to him talk and you're like, oh, you know, this is what it is. It's so cool because apparently I didn't know this until recently, where he had, up until I assume now, he still has a like accent coach to make sure that his accent doesn't get washed out, I would say. because he's living in the US, he's married and American and all this stuff. So it's very easy for you to adapt to hearing a certain accent. You start speaking like it. So it's very cool that, you know, I didn't know this up until again recently, but he had to have an accent coach to maintain his, because his accent is iconic, you know? And, you know, all this stuff like, that's how people are like, oh, that's Arnold. Like without even looking, hearing his voice, that's immediately everyone knows who it is. So I thought that was, I was like, holy crap. And so when you listen to him, it just gives you that like weird sense of like nostalgia, because like the Terminators are my favorite, one of my favorite, well, the first two, the others after that I'm like, all right, you guys stop.
They just started making Terminator 2 over and over again. You're just like,
I was like, you know, you just ended that too, you didn't need to make more, that's it, like it's done, let it go. But yeah,
really though, you're right.
It was like, all right, no more. First two, 10 out of 10.
Like the way the second one ends is perfect. Like it's all open-ended. It's just like, all right. You don't need to go any further.
They really did not. They really did not. But so it was that. But
he's great. I mean, I love Arnold. Don't get me wrong. Like, and I would hate to say like, don't do the thing that you're best at, right? You know, action movies. But maybe it's like in a sense, like, you can still do that, but like I don't know if he can be the action star, and you know, because like some of that stuff is so demanding physically. You look at like Predator, you look at like those roles, like there's some physicality involved, and like honestly though, it's like in a lot of those movies he's got stunt doubles, he's got body doubles, like I don't know. But at a certain point though, it's like, you know, those are classics. We can't remake those. Those are lightning in a bottle. Like, you know, you're not going to recapture that magic. Try to your best, I guess, to try and come up with something new. You know, it's tough. Like they tried to do the Expendables thing. That really was, that was just like the biggest nostalgia bait thing in the world. It was just like Arnold, Stallone, everybody in the world, possible.
That's right.
See all the action stars, and for all of the action stars in one movie, they're pretty boring, you know, it's just generic villain. Have some action, everyone's gonna blow shit up, and it's like, it's I mean, it's fun, I'm not gonna knock them, not say that they're you could make them really cool. I don't know, my biggest thing with Hollywood these days, it's like I feel like a lot of the real competent and amazing writers and people that put stuff together back in the day, it's like, you know, now it's like we get like one aspect of the film's really well done, like production, like, you know, like we get really great production values, visuals, acting perhaps, but like just the screenplay is just not there, like the writing, the underlevel thing. So everything suffers because of that. Or we have like a great screenplay, but the execution, like just some bad acting or just and effects just don't like work, and or there's always like, to me it's like there's some problem there. In whack, you have in those 80s 90s movies, there's just things where moons were aligned, I don't know what the fuck was going on, but like everything worked and like everything was on this level, and that's why they stand the test of time. And I just like, that's what I wish studios would recognize, the value in that. Like if your movie stands the test of time, you're gonna keep selling it for 20 years 30 years. That's a good long-term investment to make, versus like, it seems like they're just going for the quick buck, just hire who's hot, who's, you know, it doesn't matter if it's going to work. It doesn't matter if this, you know, everyone's in agreement on, just they're the hot meal ticket right now. They're going to get butts in seats, you know, hire them as a writer, the actor, whoever. And like, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it pulls it off, but I feel like more often than not now, it's just everything's suffering because of that.
For sure. And you know, someone, I was on mindlessly scrolling through like Instagram, as I do too often, and there was, I came across a video of Tom Cruise, and I was like, this isn't Tom Cruise, there's no way. That, how old is Tom Cruise? Hold on, let me look this up real quick, because
He's got to be almost 60 at this point. Weird, he's like got the, he's bathes in the blood of infants.
He is 60. Exactly. Nailed it, dude. Well done. July 3rd, 1962. He's 60. He is driving a freaking motorcycle off a cliff.
Yeah, did it six times.
Did you see it? You saw that
one? Yeah, did it six times in one day or something.
Is this? I was like, at first I was like, nah, that's also CGI. No, it's not. And I was like, holy shit, that is him. What a fucking psycho. That's crazy. Dude, I was on the plane coming back from Europe. I don't know, what was it, out 2 weeks ago? We go over some turbulence and I start praying. I'm like, oh. Immediately pray and pulled out the prayer book. Like, this is when I need my maker. This is it. It's been a good run. Terrified. Fucking terrified. I was so scared from a little bit of truth. I mean, I was over the Atlantic, so in my head, for some reason, over water is more dangerous. Or like, if I'm crashing, I'm crashing. It doesn't matter where. Yeah. But it's like, in my head, I'm like, I'm over the Atlantic. But this guy. And then I don't just yanks the parachute. Like, my guy, what if the parachute doesn't work? You're 60. That's like, what if, like, right. What is happening? Amazing. And I'm like, I know he's into Scientology and he's a Scientologist, but like, are they drinking like some sort of like young blood to keep this youth? Like, I don't understand. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this dude's like, doing something.
What is, like, there's all these documentaries about, you know, Scientology, and then it's very cultish and all, like, the crimes that they're committing and stuff. But I'm like, this is working out. Whatever he's doing, it's working out for him. Whether it's Scientology or something else, whatever, it's working out for him. But I was so impressed. I was like, holy shit, this is insane. Like,
yeah. No, dude, like, going, he did it six times in one day. And then on top of that, like, yeah, what I don't get to either is, like, how you get the insurance, like, how are you getting insurance? Like, because movies, they get insurance, like, on their movies in case stuff goes wrong, blah blah blah. Like, you have Tom Cruise, like, one of the biggest action stars, like, ever, driving a motorcycle off a cliff. It's like, how, like, what's the insurance policy there? Like, who's gonna put that, be like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll insure that, you know?
Yeah. It's how he doesn't need, he'll pay it out of his own pocket. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I'm sure there's something like that. I'm sure there's somebody, they're just refusing to insure that. I'm sure that's what it is. And Tom's like, well, I'll just pay for it. If I die, my estate will pay you, whatever.
Insane. Oh my God.
It's wild. And that's his commitment, though. He's like, he wants to save the movies. That's what their whole thing is. It's like, we're going to save the movies, because I guess COVID killed a lot of movies. So it's like,
dude, but you know how you're like, what you said about Arnold, you're like, he looks a certain way. Like, at some point, you're just like, this looks weird. You know, that's how it is with Tom, except he's actually doing it. But you're like, he takes off the helmet. And I'm like, you look like you need to be just chilling. Like, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like, there's the youthfulness there, but it's like, everything's puffy. Like, it's like, it's like it's young crazy. Tom, but everything's like coming out. Like, everything's getting deeper, his face is getting deeper.
You're like, something's off here.
It's like injecting more to, like, I don't know, it's to keep the wrinkles away. He's got to. I mean, dude's looks
weird, huh? Let me see.
He just looks like I don't know, he looks ageless now at this point. Like,
yeah,
if you look at him and when he was younger, like, he looks okay. Yeah, like, you're young. All right. When you see him in his 40s, it's like, okay, you're starting to get there. But
he's gotten, so his face has, like, gotten wide, like, this way.
Yeah.
They're saying, some people are saying that he looks like he's gotten some work done. You know, I don't think he's pulled his face, but definitely some sort of Botox on his forehead.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, like, when you're, by the time you're 60, like, you got, you know, and it's not bad, like, you know, you get some of that graceful, like, aging you know, features. It's just like, they're not there on him. It's just like, and yeah, you see kind of that with Arnold, and some of that sometimes is makeup too. Like, sometimes they just get caked on with his makeup, you know. It does, it's incredible. Like, sometimes the things you think makeup can do, you can't do, like, like, they have on these sets and stuff. Like, I don't know.
I don't understand that. No, with Tom Cruise, it's just, do you think at that age, like, 60 isn't so old, it's really not, but it's like older, like, you're hitting that, like, pushing it place, like, it's not 75 like Arnold, but, you know, do you think you got to be on some sort of, like, I don't want to say drugs, but, like,
TRT,
keep that energy going, like, whether it's like something like Adderall or something? Like, do you think you would have to take something like that, or is that, although he's always been sort of a stunt guy, But at that age, like you just don't have the same energy that you do at 30. You just don't.
No, for sure. And there's probably, he's probably on something like that, like I would imagine. But I'd say, you know, he's definitely does like some sort of testosterone replacement therapy. You know what I mean? To just keep that. Yeah. I mean, by that age, like that, you know, 60 years old, like your testosterone levels are naturally just going to fall. So I feel like, you know, and don't get me wrong. Like, I feel like older guys, like with you keep your activity up through your older age, like they can actually keep that testosterone level up. But I do think, you know, it's just natural progression of hormones. Like when you start to get up there, they're just going to naturally fall. And that's, I think just what you see happen. So what with him, I think that he's probably doing some sort of TRT because like you know, you got to keep the muscle mass up.
Yeah.
And I saw him in fucking the Top Gun movie. He was like he was shirtless in that. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, I think, dude, he's got to be on something. He's got the muscle mass. He's maintaining he's muscle mass. 60-year-old maintaining that muscle mass. I'm like,
it's I think wild. He's got to be taking something. I'm like, dude, I don't even have that energy. What the hell, man?
Oh, no. Know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What the heck? Like, this is insane. And how did he not just shit his pants?
He's like addicted to adrenaline, you know, they're adrenaline junkies. Yeah, that's what happens. You just like get addicted to it. You're like, oh, I gotta do this now.
It's not
like,
fun. I jumped out of a plane. It's not fun. I hated it. I hated it. I'd never do it again. I hated it. And you know, I wish I kind of want to lie and be like, yeah, man, it was so cool. I totally do it again. I just have been so busy. Like, I could completely cap. But the problem is I hated it. Like, I hated everything. I hated getting in the plane. I hated going up. I hated jumping. I only part I didn't mind was when we were on the ground. And I was like, thank God we're good.
You landed. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that part was manageable. But even just the parachute deploying was the worst feeling because of, I don't know if you've ever jumped or know anyone.
No, I haven't.
So what happens is it's already scary jumping out of a plane, but then when the parachute deploys, it goes all those like negative G forces. I think I'm saying here. I think that's the right thing. And you feel kind of like that roller coaster feeling where your stomach kind of leaps out of your body. And the air kind of gets knocked out of you, but like multiply that by 1,000. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The guy I jumped with, he was like, I think I'm deaf because of how much I screamed. I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit.
I was so scared. My eyes were closed the entire, I didn't see anything, by the way. It was a completely useless jump. My eyes were closed the entire time.
Wow. Like you just couldn't even open them. Like even if you wanted to.
That was good. He kept tapping, so they'll tap you, right? So you get on, I'm sitting on the stranger's lap the entire way up. It's one of those like tiny toy airplanes that'll take you up. There's no seats in the plane. You just sit on the ground. And they swing over. I got up to 15,000 feet. They opened the door and he was like, you ready? And I'm like, no, not even close. And he was like, well, there you go. You have to put your head back. So the idea is if you jump out and you hit your head gets flung back, you don't knock out the guy that's going to save your life. Yeah, you know, the person I'm jumping with. So you put your head back. And so I just immediately closed my eyes. I like really tight. I got so scared. And then you just jump out. And immediately I just start screaming. My eyes are closed. He kept tapping. And he told me when we were going up, like, I'll tap your arm. That's when you, like, look around, enjoy the view. I did not.
He's just like, nope.
I did none of that. I was just like, why am I doing this? What? How do you get me off this ride?
God.
So I opened my eyes for a second. Like, just a second. And as soon as I did, and it's funny because it was so fast, like 15,000 feet. You would think you have more than like 5 minutes of falling before you open the parachute, but you really don't. It was like two minutes of falling, or at least it felt like that. It felt so fast. And immediately, like as soon as I looked around for a second and then he deployed the parachute, it was the most terrifying sensation ever. Hated it.
Wow.
And then you land, which I bombed the landing because he told me to stick your feet out. And I was like, onto what? Feet out, but I just landed on my butt, and so he fell too.
Oh, damn,
it was a mess. No, never want to do it again.
Damn,
but that's why I'm like, how do you get addicted to that? Well, maybe if I didn't suck at it, it would be good, but it was just awful. Like,
Yeah, like it might be an acquired taste, but I do think some people are naturally do have like sort of a natural wiring for it. You know, like they're just like, yeah, like they just get jazzed for it. Like, yeah, like they just enjoy the rush or whatever it is, you know, because adrenaline, I mean, in some cases, like it makes you just like fucking sick. Like, you know, everyone reacts kind of differently to it, you know? And so, you know, I'm not a big fan. Like, get the adrenaline going. Like, you know, that's, you know, I'll get my heart going, but like not only the adrenaline levels going.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. Especially like an extreme sport like that. Like, and the only reason why I went is because it was a gift. I think it was more for him from my boyfriend at the time.
Gotcha.
And I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, and he was well aware. I have a fear of heights too. That's the other thing. Like a severe, like severe fear of heights. So, like my palms get sweaty if I go on an escalator that has a very like steep incline. Like those, I don't do escalators. I'll walk around for stairs or find an elevator or something. For some reason, the escalators freak me out. Like the nosebleeds ones.
Oh yeah.
I don't like those.
They got some of those in like, yeah, like in New York and DC, like
exactly DC and New York, they have a lot of those.
They go so long.
End of it. And I'm just like,
yeah.
I start doing the Michael Jackson, like I'll lean forward as I get just slowly because I feel like I'm gonna fall backwards and I don't know why, but it's just like, and then I start sweating. And so if I'm with anyone, I'm like, you guys, I can't talk right now. I'm focused.
I don't know if you've seen, there's like a video, it's like a viral ad. I think it's out of like, you know, Hong Kong or China or something. And like, it's like an escalator, a really long one, and it's going down. And these ladies put their like luggage on it. And like the luggage just goes and then just falls forward. Just goes straight down. There's a lady like all the way at the bottom of it. And sees the luggage coming. She's like, tries to get off before this shit just takes her right out.
Takes her out.
Wipes her out. And then it cuts to like her, like they got a stretcher there and everything. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know how bad it was, like, but it seemed like
it's not good.
No, it's not good. They had a stretcher and shit there, but like, man, like what a like dumbass. Like put your luggage on the like shit. I don't know.
Why would you do that? And if you're gonna do it, like you go first and then your luggage is next to you or like behind you so you can like hold it up if you need to. Don't just like let it.
That's what's insane about
bullying, you know.
You see that shit, like, you know, and I don't mean to, you know, and it's probably gonna sound horrible, but like, you know, it's just like they're you think, you know, China in like places like that, it's like there's so many people.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's like this one person that's like never encountered like an escalator before, or just like doesn't understand how it works. Like, is this the situation we're seeing? Like, I just wonder, you know, they're just like they're looking at it, they're like, what the fuck, how do I use this? They just put the luggage on it, it just goes straight down. They're like, oh man, that's not how it works. Oops.
There's like no instructions, there's no how-to manual,
you know? Right, you know, I'm willing to believe, you know, it's because there are probably some really rural, I think there are some really rural parts of China where there's like little villages, and so maybe people don't get out that much, you know, and first time this person's seeing a fucking escalator, who knows. I just would like to think that, you know, if you have experience, you're not doing that to somebody.
Oh my God. It's wild. Anyway. I mean, there's so many YouTube videos of people on escalators who are like fall over or like can't get up once. Oh my God. The ones that just like keep falling, like they look like they're, they look like they're like laundry in a dryer, just tumbling, you know, just like can't get up. And it's just a mess.
Like going the wrong way up one. They just like,
yeah, it's so bad. Cause a lot of them are old people. And I'm like, this is so bad. Like, this is it for you, sir. Like, you're done.
No, yeah. The escalator defeated.
Oh, my God. Yeah, escalator won. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because in my head, they're just like stairs, like any other stairs. But the problem is there's too much time to think, right? Like, you see how long they are, and you're like, this is, I'm going to be, that's a long way up, you know? So
I'll usually walk up an escalator, like, you know,
it makes me feel better to do that than to stand.
Yeah. Like, I don't like to stand. If that's the thing, it's just like in those really crowded areas, like if there's a lot of traffic, like everyone's standing.
Yeah.
And so it's like on those really narrow ones, sometimes I will just stand there because it is like trying to like climb up that. I'm like, all right, I'm not even gonna like, I'm, this has already freaked me out enough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just gonna hold on and just stand.
Exactly. I think people think that like, oh, you know, this is a healthy person. It's like, no, no, it's complete all anxiety. It has nothing to do with me like wanting an anxious to move. Person, like, I'm not trying to add more to my workout. You know, it's quite the contrary. So,
yeah, you know that. But no, I agree. Like, I'm not a big fan of those steep ass escalators. Like, whenever I see those, I'm just like. Sometimes I will just take the stairs in those situations because, like, you know, like, I'd rather not, just not even deal with it. And two, like we're talking about people just standing on the fucking thing. I'm just like, I just rather be moving. Now, the one in the airport, the flat one, those I love those. Awesome. Yeah, that was great. Like, you're just like super walking on that shit. You're like,
I'm just like, keep up with me now.
Yeah, exactly. Just people just standing walking on that shit. I don't get that. I'm just like, come on, you got this. Super walk, like, you got this awesome stride.
No, those are awesome. Those are, I love those. They're just fun to get on. Just flying. Yeah. Although, he's... like the you know, the dismount sometimes is like, because you're going so fast, and then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap!
It's a little disorienting. Like,
you know.
Yeah. And because you're going so fast through like wherever the tunnel was, all of a sudden you slow down. It is kind of a little just like disappointing. You're like,
there's
damn.
There's a sense of power when you're on those, though. You're like, I know our place is to be. Excuse me.
I'm sure the guys that like work at the airport probably just go like back and forth on those things just like for fun. Like, they don't even need to. They're just like, I need to like go.
Yeah.
Kind of go up there real quick. Just like get a like quick one in.
It's just, those are. Those aren't bad. I dig those.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of those.
Yeah, like those aren't bad at all. But speaking of workouts, though, you've been working out for a while. I've been following along. You're a little journey, but
trying to, you know, doing mainly like bodybuilding, trying to focus on that, like versus like, I guess like what you would see like powerlifting or like calisthenics and all these different things people do. So I like try to focus and do all the diet and organize the routine. And
how's the diet going?
Not going bad. I'm doing the cutting right now, so it sucks.
so I'm struggling big time with the sugar.
Yeah, exactly. Sugar is the worst thing in the world.
No. I'm like, really. I was struggling before I went to Europe, and I cut it out completely, man. I was so proud of myself. I cut it out completely for like 2 weeks. And then I go to France and I see pastries and I'm like, I'm in France, you know, I'm not going to not eat.
Come on. Yeah.
And then I lived on it. Like, I'm telling you, I was at a bakery every single day and I went and I was like easily spending like 15 euros just a day, just on pastries. So bad. It's so bad.
But it's so good.
Then I felt like crap. Don't get me wrong. I felt like crap, but it was so good.
And right?
I think the idea is like, you tell yourself like, listen, man, I don't live here. So I'm gonna enjoy this because it's okay because I don't live here. Like, it's okay because I don't live here. But then I got back and like my body is now used to just like pure sugar and pastries and butter, because that's just how pastries are made. It's just butter and flour and sugar. And I was just like, oh shit, man. Like, they don't, thank God they don't have pastries here like that. But just the like, I'm not even using this term loosely, like actual withdrawal. I was just like, felt like shit. Like, it felt like crap. And then luckily right now it's better. It's better than it was when I first got here like a couple weeks ago, but now I'm cutting. I have just a little bit, like, I didn't do the hardcore cut. I like, weaned.
Tapered it off. Yeah.
Before I went, I did a hardcore cut, and I think that was probably better, honestly, but I'm just making up excuses for myself.
I mean, it really depends, you know, which you're trying to do, you know, like, cause the hardcore cut, like, honestly, I try and stick pretty hard to it during the week, like stick consistent, but weekends, like, I get off of it because I'm like, I need to maintain my sanity. You know what I mean? I'm like, start craving just some, give me a fucking cheeseburger. You know what I mean? So I try and limit myself to that. You know what I mean? Like,
are you craving the salty or the sweets?
Kind of both. And so I'll try and try and get the sweets in like in other ways that are not as costly, I guess. Like,
yeah.
So I have like, you know, get like some like freaking sugar-free syrup, and I'll get like a protein waffle or something and put like a little bit of like whipped cream on that. And then with some of the, so you get a little bit of sugar with the whipped cream. Just give me a little bit of a, some of the sweet, but at least the waffle's got protein and like, there's no sugar in the syrup. Mm. And so I'm like trying to really watch all that, but it helps just keep me sane, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not just cause like fucking egg whites. I want to blow my goddamn brains. Like, I just, it's so bland.
Do you just use egg whites?
So usually I'll do like 10 egg whites, and like one of them I'll use like a whole egg with it, and just kind of like try to just do scramble it
as best
I can. Just get a little bit of flavor in there with the yolk.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine actually just gave me, he has chickens, so he's just gave me a bunch of fresh like eggs. So I'm not going to actually, just going to eat those whole. Because like those are great, like fresh eggs are amazing, dude, and the flavor is, I'm not going to use just the whites on those. Fuck
especially
that,
if you raise them and they're not like whole like
exactly.
They're like eggs,
they're all different colors. You know, they look all.
That's so cool. Are they like really small?
No, they're actually pretty decent size.
Really?
Yeah, I ate like four of them yesterday and scrambled them up, and like just did. The flavor of fresh eggs is, there's something about it just so,
man.
So rich, you know, it's just it compared to the store-bought. The store-bought, it's just so manufactured and feels so, bland.
Yeah.
So maybe that is part of the problem, is just like, I've been eating these store-bought fucking egg whites for the past 2 months now. And I'm just getting to my wit's end with that. I'm just like, I can't do it. The chicken breast, I'm still okay with chicken breast.
When did you start your cut?
Beginning of April. So I've done April, and now we're end of May. So, and I went on a really long bulk. So I started bulking like basically October of 2022 all the way to April.
Bulk or
kind of started off really dirty, and then towards the about halfway through, just adjusted my numbers to actually track shit properly. And
Dude, even when you dirty bulk, like it feels good at first, and then you just kind of feel like crap.
And you gain way too much, and like, you know, it's like that throws things out of whack too. So, but like, so I went probably a little longer than I should have. So now I'm like kind of paying for that, but I've seen good progress in the 2 months. I'm thinking maybe I'm going to go maybe 2 weeks into June, see where I'm at. And then,
because
I want to get back to building muscle. Stop fucking around with the cut, you know?
Yeah. Is that mainly for like the summer? You're cutting for the summer?
Oh yeah, I wanted to kind of set that up, so I would kind of go on the cut, so I get kind of like look nice during the time I would probably have a shirt off, and then towards, you know, probably once I get into like August, September, then like I'm gonna start take the bulk more seriously, but I might just hit it, you know, straight up like maybe July, start bulking in July. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I kind of do want to enjoy, once I get a little leaner, I want to enjoy that. Enjoy the fruits of the labor.
It is truly like the kitchen, like 90% kitchen.
And that's what it is. And people don't want to talk about that, but it's like, that really is. The cut is 80% diet and 20% your workout.
More, man. I would say more.
Possibly.
What's crazy, I'll tell you some. I wasn't even working out when I was in Asia. I was there for 3 months. I was the leanest and probably the most healthiest I've been, because I wasn't even intentionally trying, but how it was is it's very affordable. Like I would pretty much eat the same thing. Cause when I like something, I kind of just stick with it. So a lot of times I wouldn't eat, it's not a lot of rice. So they give you like with your meal, I was spending maybe $1.30 for this and for dinner. And in the morning it was just eggs. Like you just go to any place and they'll make you scrambled eggs, and that's what I would have. But the lifestyle is just a lot of walking, and then how affordable it was. And I'm talking about, you know, I was in Thailand, and it was, so mixed vegetables and then with a little bit of chicken. And then when they usually give you like the amount of rice that could fit in your palm, and I would be full, like I really wouldn't. And it was just a gradual thing that kind of happened. And I really, they don't really have pastries like that there. They have like they have so many 7-Elevens, but I really wasn't doing that. From like the partying, like if people are drinking or something, that's where the extra calories would come in.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
You know, it's not like we were doing that every night or anything like that. Some people were, but that's also just exhausting. Like, dude, it was crazy. It was just my diet. It was just my diet. And it's not, I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, I was there to explore and see different countries and see different cultures. So it's not like I was there like consciously thinking like, okay, and then I have to go lift now. And then I have to hit the back and then I have swimming and then I have this, which here is what I do because I'm taking into consideration. I'm not moving. And so it was insane when I got back, when my family saw me, they were like, holy crap. Like, they were like, you look great, but were you not eating? And I was like, no, I was eating, but it was just the lifestyle and how affordable the fruit was. Like I go and get, they would cut up fresh mangoes and it's delicious. Oh my God. It's so good.
Oh yeah.
And they'd give me like, they put it in this, like, it looks like a cup and it was like 80 cents. It's so good. And it's just like 80 cents for fresh cut mangoes. And I mean, any fruit you want, really.
Pretty good deal, yeah.
my go-to was the mangoes. And I was like, this is wild. Like, I didn't work out. I did a Muay Thai camp when I first got there. I worked out the first month. And then the last 2 months, I didn't work out at all. I was just enjoying myself and moving and, you know, just traveling. But intentional workout was just the first month. So then I didn't work out at all the second or third month. And it was weird. My muscle mass was still there. It was just leaner. I felt amazing. I didn't have any brain fog. I wasn't tired. Like the past 2 days, I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm freaking tired. She's like, did you go anywhere? Like, and I was like, outside the gym in my house? Like, not really. She's like, go outside, like take a walk outside. I'm like, holy crap. Like, that's right. I haven't been just out, like just walking. So just that it's so much more, it's so difficult to make sure, like, it's so much easier to grab those like processed. And and the funny thing is a lot of people are like, well, you know, healthy food is expensive, but if you think about it, processed food adds up too. Like, I think just food in general here is really expensive.
Yeah.
Like it adds up. So, but it's just that like quick fix of like, well, this is already done or whatever.
Yeah.
So also known as being just lazy.
Yeah. No. But I think you're right though. Like, you know,
like, it is what it is. Like, you're just being lazy. Like,
yeah. And though when you make food at home, I've noticed like when I'm cutting and if I'm making stuff at home, like even if I get a little excessive at what I'm eating at home, like 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to see any impact from that versus if I eat excessively from stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. I feel like if you make stuff at home, you have a little bit more leeway to kind of pig out, I guess, a little bit more than you do if you're eating out at like McDonald's or something. Now, like, it's such a weird thing because like one thing I've noticed is like when I'm on the bulk, it's like, yeah, like you can get like 2000 calories, you know, from like I'll eat McDonald's, 2000 calories in McDonald's, like in one meal, easy. The quality of that compared to if I eat like, you know, go to my normal routine, which was at like the peak of it, I was getting up to like between 25 to 3000 calories a day. And a good portion of that wasn't like McDonald's or fat store-bought stuff. It was like, it was stuff that I was, buying at the store, bringing home and making. And so, or like, you know, something that was like frozen that I could like warm up or something. And so like the combination of all that stuff, like I found like was way more stable. I wasn't gaining nearly as like much fat, which is the thing that you're kind of trying to outrun. Like when you're doing the bulk, is like you're just trying not to get too fat too fast. Exactly. Because once you when you go out of gains too much fat, it messes with your hormones.
Yeah,
and then your testosterone levels start to fall. So it's like, and this is the whole thing. It's the balance is with bodybuilding is based on what I've know. Like I'm sure this is probably people be like, oh, this is total bro science. But basically, what it is, it's like, if you go really extreme in either direction, say if you get real super lean, you have not a lot of body fat on your body, then your hormones start to fall, your testosterone falls. And then on the other end of the spectrum, if you get too much fat, your testosterone falls. So you kind of have to stay in this kind of Goldilocks zone, so to speak, of keeping your testosterone level up and cutting. And like, so you're not getting too fat. You stop it before that starts to fall and you bring it back down, but then you stop cutting before it starts to fall. And you kind of stay in this zone of keeping your testosterone up. And so it's kind of this spot. And exactly. You kind of bounce it back and forth. This is for natural bodybuilding. Cause once you start to introduce like if you are injecting testosterone or you have that supplemental stuff, then like the chemistry all changes. Like then at that point, it's like, you can bulk all year round like a lean bulk where you're just putting on muscle and like you're not even gaining any fat because all the compounds in your system are allowing you to do that. Right. Now that's a whole different thing. But like when it comes to natural bodybuilding, you're playing this sort of yo-yo between those two things, cycle. And, you know, I've tried to, I feel like I've been actually successful at it recently because it's taken me some time to really understand it and understand what I'm doing and not worrying about what other people are doing and like what other people can, focus on what, works for you. But the thing is like some of that takes time. People always say that, right? It's like, do what works for you. It's like, well, sometimes it takes time to learn what that is, and so don't be afraid of trying different things or don't be afraid of like, don't feel like, oh, I have to just pick one thing and I have to stick to it. It's like, no, like if you don't feel like that's getting you where you want to go, it's like, try other stuff.
Yeah. See what works for you.
Honestly, I like bodybuilding. Though, that's me. But that's other people like powerlifting. Other people like the calisthenics. Other people just like yoga and fucking cardio. Do what works. Do what you like.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, 100%. I think that there's so much. It's so easy to get caught up into like eat like this, or do this, or work out like this, or work out like that. And I think it confuses people and it complicates the thing that like it complicates people's perception of like what healthy should be or what it can be or what it does look like. Like you're absolutely right. But I think for me, by far, when I had actually completely cut out sugar, now I'm not saying this should work for everyone, but when I say sugar, I don't mean like fruits. I mean processed
sugar. Yep.
Processed foods, no bread, no pasta. I even cut out rice. Like I was just, and this is before I went over to the land of pastries. I think I was my anxiety had decreased. My cravings had decreased. My brain fog decreased. My energy was so much better. Like I had more natural energy. I my moods were more stable. Like it changed. Everything changed for me. And I know this, I haven't quit it. I haven't done that again just because, honestly, again, I think I'm just being lazy where it's like the idea of like having to go through those first steps again, where I'm like, I'm just putting it off. But if I'm getting down to it, that was hands down the best, not just for my physical, looking wise, but like my brain functionality. And then I relied on like fruits and vegetables and to give me those carbohydrates that I needed. And it was fantastic. But those first few days, it kicked my ass. And I'm just like, I don't want to go through it again. But, at some point, I think I will. At some point, I'm just going to do it and just be like, let's get this over with. But like, you got to cut the bullshit. We all know what's good. Like, stop playing. That is an excuse. So, but once I'm like, all right, I got to get my shit together, then we'll go that way. But it's crazy. I think a lot of, I don't know, man. I've just been reading up so much about like the sugar stuff, and it's crazy. The processed sugar.
Yeah. And like, there's all sorts of, you hear all sorts of this stuff about it, how like, the sugar industry is like actually paid off, like people to do studies to make it be like, oh, fat's the real enemy. It's like to just get people off this percent of sugar. I think I've heard people talk about that. I'm sure that you're probably looking at it. Like, every industry is like doing bullshit like that.
Yeah.
But one thing though, like, I think this is when it comes to fitness and all this stuff, like, you know, everything's always marketed with fitness. It's the aesthetic aspect of it, right? Everyone wants to look good. You know, I want to look like that. You know, it's like, right. People will say that. And I've had some people say that to me. I feel super, like, honestly, fucking weirded out and humble when people say things, tell me and compliment my appearance, because I'm just like, you know, I do appreciate that, but honestly, really the benefit for me has been really the discipline aspect of it. The mental, because it's all really actually connected. And this is what people don't understand. It's like, yes, certainly there's the physical aesthetic part to fitness, but the mental discipline aspect of it that it's given me, like, that's helped me in so many other ways in my life outside of just like working out. Like, and this is what's 100%. To me is what I tell people why you should do it, is because it's not just about that. It's not just about looking good, and it's not just about necessarily feeling good, but it's about training your mind to understand how everything works. Is it's all a process. Like, if you're going to do anything in this life, you got to learn the rules. You got to learn the ropes. Once you learn the rules, then you can start to bend them a little bit, in some cases break them, but it's like everything's a process. And so to me, it's like fitness is such a basic thing, because it's like, it's physical, it's real. And anybody, in barring, you know, physical disabilities and stuff like that, should, if you're capable of able-bodied human being, male or female, I think, you know, you should give yourself that challenge. You know, it's like, to me, it the benefits I've gotten from it have been you know, I can't overstate them, and two, I can't ever fully explain it or share that with somebody, because you have to do it.
It's something that you understand that.
Yeah, exactly. And once you get there, once you start to see it, then things start to come into place. You're like, fuck. Like, but yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, it's very much based on experience. Booster.
Like, when you discipline yourself, and then you get to places, and then not only you recognize it, but other people start seeing it too. You're like, holy crap. And then you build this relationship with yourself where, you know, you got this far, you'll get through whatever it could take, you know? So it's that aspect of it. And that's another, I think that's for me, like, really another reason why I like fighters and the fight mentality, is because, or any sport, but I think for me, I was really drawn into it. Speaking of discipline, aside from me not being ready to give up sugar, which I feel personally attacked right now. Okay.
Okay.
There's no discipline there, but everything else. No, I'm just playing. But it was, you know, I don't know if you know much about him, but he's retired, but Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Habib?
He was a former lightweight champion, and he is one of the main reasons. I mean, I was going through a very difficult time, 2019, before COVID, like a year before COVID, I would say. And it was at that time, like, I really started like paying attention to him and his camps and his lifestyle. And he's, talk about discipline. Like, there's nothing more than discipline this man has. Like, and so I kind of followed his lead big time for like 3 years. I mean, I was already boxing at that time, but I really, really went into it. Like, I was like, you know, I have to be like him. If he's training, I'm going to train every day. Like, this is how it has to be. Like, I it was like his philosophy. I really went hardcore into it. And I like completely sober. I wasn't dating. I was completely just focused. Like, I went full monk mode.
Yeah.
Nice. Full monk mode. I wasn't messing around. Like, boys weren't in the picture. You know, I was very serious with my diet. I was very diligent with my workouts. I wasn't playing around. I was just like work, training, and this. And I was just like, and just watch him. I would just watch. I mean, you know, I've shared how I can become obsessive with Bill Burr, and now
you see
there's a pattern. So then I was just like, oh my God, I want to be like this guy, he has it all figured out. Like, he has his purpose figured out. He has everything figured out. His whole, and it wasn't just him, his whole, everyone he surrounded himself with was like him. They were so disciplined, and there was no nonsense, and they were so family oriented. And I was like, there's so much purpose here. it's just like there was no bullshit in his life. Like he didn't give a shit about girls. He didn't give a shit about alcohol. He didn't give a shit about anything. Like he was like so driven, and he was like, "I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna be." And he got everything he set out to get and more. He's, you know, so incredible and incredibly inspirational. But that's all became because of his discipline. Like nothing swayed him. He didn't care. Like you couldn't dangle anything in front of this man where he'd like be like, "Oh, I'm gonna skip my workout because do you see that ass?" You know, like it was not even he can give nothing phased this man. Yeah. And I was like, I want to be like that. And I like to think I was kind of like that.
Yeah, you had like channeled some of that energy. No,
it was amazing.
But no, that's true though. Like, you know, there are some of those, that is, you know, you're exactly right though. It's like, there are those figures that are that level of inspiring where they've just like, yeah, they, I mean, the discipline, you know what I mean? Is so admirable.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, you know, that's.
And dude, especially like on that level, like you are, do you know how many females he could get if he wanted to?
Right.
You know exactly. What I mean? Like, yeah. he started to get fame and power. And money, because money and power with men are very much, you know, tied, or with anyone actually.
Yeah.
Money, you have power. But you know, and all this stuff, and it was so easy to just be like, to just, you know, let so many people before him have and after him will, like, just get caught up in the fame and the power of like the spotlight and the glory of all of it. Some people argue McGregor, that's what happened with him. He kind of caught up into that, and then he had his downfall. And he still hasn't recovered really from that. But, yeah. You know, so I think like with him, it's so, because it's so easy to get lost in that world, especially on that scale.
Yeah, well, for sure. You know, it's, and I think that's what, you know, that we talked about earlier, you know, to kind of bring the conversation full circle, right? Like talk about like ideology, right? You're like, yeah. For me, what I really don't like about sort of like super like religious or say political people is the ideology sort of dominates, you know, their worldview, and sort of it feels like they're not in control of their thinking anymore, right? They're outsourcing their thinking to somebody else. Now, what I admire, and when you see in figures that are very disciplined, it's like you can totally have your religion and your beliefs. And I'm not saying you can't have those things at all. Like, but what I'm saying though, it's like the people that have a real command, I feel like, of their discipline and things, it's like you don't see that. Like the religion's not governing them. They're using that. They're channeling that through themselves and using that as like a moral compass and a code.
Exactly.
And they're just, part of their code is based on, you know, maybe that, but like a lot of the times these people have a very strong code, you know, like moral code that, you know, and that's what I think anybody that has, you know, good individual code, you know, individuality, you can be part of different groups, but at the end of the day, you are an individual.
Yeah.
And, you know, and give you, and like we, and also one thing you said earlier that I absolutely love is, it's about like trusting yourself. It's like that's part of what the fitness and the discipline is like you start to trust yourself. And that's one thing for the longest time, like I realized I didn't actually trust, like you're talking about confidence. Like I didn't trust myself to actually do things and follow through with things and get things done. But now I'm like, oh, well, I've actually challenged myself to do this stuff. I've accomplished goals now. Mm-hmm. And you start to be like, okay, like if I can do that, what else can I do? You know what I mean? And like, and I know as simple as that sounds, it's like it really is a game changer. Like once you start to realize what you are capable of, you're like, oh fuck, what else can I put my mind to?
You know? Realize how much you get in your way too, which is wild. Like how much you get in your own way. And this, I know this sounds like a lot of like quotes that you see on like,
I know, I stuff, hate to be all cliche like that, but no, it's all valid stuff like, though. It really is valid.
Dude, when I'm hitting the bag, cause I'm going on to almost 6 years now boxing, but for me in my head, I feel like I don't feel like a beginner, but I still feel like there's so much that I can improve on. So when I'm hitting the bag, I'm just in my zone and someone will come up to me and they'll be like, oh my God, like are you training? Are you amateur? Like, what are you doing? Do you have fights coming up? I'm just like, man, dude, I'm just hitting the bag. I don't know. Like, I'm like, no, thank you. I appreciate it. And I get all these compliments. I'm like, wow, I feel like I just started. I remember when I first learned to wrap my hands and box and like, and you know, I would wait for you know, I put my earbuds in, and there's a YouTuber I was following, and he would tell me the combinations, and I would do that. And I wasn't confident enough to just hit the bag with just listening to music and get in my own combinations and, you know, move out and just, you know, train myself that way. So yeah, it's, and then you see this in the trust that you have with yourself, especially if you're taking on a new sport, and then you get not only recognition from yourself, but other people. It's such a confidence booster. It's insane. It feels so good. It feels so good to have that, like, holy crap. I used to be like afraid or not think that I could get there. And then here I am, and people are coming and asking me questions. It's incredible. And it's like, the only way to do that is to just, unfortunately, like, you have to put yourself out there. You have to, in a way, put yourself out there. Try something that you haven't tried before and commit to it. It's just, yeah, it's not easy, but it's definitely like, it's not this big mountain that people feel like it is at first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and nothing really worth doing is easy. You know what I mean? You know, there's always going to be probably some challenge involved in doing anything worth doing. Right. So, but like, you know, to what your point, you know, it's like a lot of it's the discipline and stuff. It translates over into so many other things, like with like my music stuff. Like, I'm like, all right, well, if I can do that. Like, I've like started to like see progress in other areas, and like with like the drums and stuff, I would like, you know, it's just all discipline. So I would just apply the same sort of logic of like, you know, the consistency of routines and
exercises.
Like a lot of building blocks, a lot of music is just building blocks, like with you know, with an exercise, right? Like if you're gonna do like a squat, you know, it's like a squat is like a several different movements in the mechanic of your body. And like, there's different parts to the movement, but you break it down.
Yeah,
and you do each part, then you kind of learn what it is, you know. And so it's like, that's kind of what it is with you know, music. It's like you just work on the fundamental parts of it and put it all together. So it's like, awesome. And then it works the same way with all sorts of other shit. Yeah. So it's like anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we've been going now for about like almost an hour and a half. So that's been great conversation.
Yeah, it has. It's awesome. I freaking love it. It's been great. Thank you for having me.
Hell yeah. Do you want to plug anything or anything before we go? I feel like it's probably a logical time to wrap it up.
My YouTube, Big Daddy Momo. Big Daddy Momo on YouTube, or at Big Daddy Momo 1 on Instagram and YouTube. You'll find me on both. But I do a lot of reactions and kind of like what I said earlier and UFC stuff. So that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Try to include some links, make sure that's all in there.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
So people can find you and everything. But
hopefully they'll remember the name. Hopefully.
It'll stick.
Speaking of confidence, I chose that name at first because I was like so nervous starting. I was like, I'm gonna be Big Daddy. I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, it's just straight confidence.
That's what it is, you know.
Top of the level, just Big Daddy. Yeah. What are you gonna do? All right. So
all right.
Maybe we'll do it again sometime. This has been great.
I'd love to.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, please go give me 5 stars on iTunes and go harass me on any social media platform you find suitable. Thank you.